You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times Good Times. I'm really happy to tell you that two of my friends from the Metals Investor Forum, Gwen Press and Eric Coffin, are with me to share some of their thoughts about the junior exploration markets and hopefully a couple of their favorite stories that they're going to be talking about in Vancouver at the Metals Investor Forum. We'll be meeting there. As I noted earlier in the show, for the first time, we're going to be meeting live in person this is the first time since March 2020 when we met in Toronto at the PDAC, Metals Investor Forum. So it's going to be great to meet up in person again, and you need to go to the Metals Investor Forum website, metalsinvestorforum.com, to sign up either to attend in person, and it will be live virtually as well this time. So I hope you all take the opportunity to tune in and catch up with some of the newsletter writers' favorite stories. Gwen and Eric, thank you so much for joining me again.
Happy to come on.
Thanks for having us, Jay.
It's really good to have both of you with me. And it's, well, Gwen is known as the Resource Maven, and resourcemavens.ca for her work. You can sign up for her letter there, learn more about what she does. And with Eric, it's HRAadvisory.com. All right, so... Well, thanks for joining us, and I'm really glad that you could be with us today to sort of give us your thoughts about the markets. Maybe starting with you, Eric, what are your thoughts about the silver and gold markets? I think a lot of us are pretty annoyed, to say, put it one way anyway, in terms of everything else is going up except gold and silver, and we're having this incredible surge of inflation and wage inflation like we haven't seen, I would argue, since the 1970s almost. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, as the old saying goes, you're not paranoid if they really are out to get you, which apparently they are in the case of people who buy gold and silver stock. I think we've got this weird dichotomy right now, and I think tomorrow is actually going to be very telling. So everybody should be marking 11 o'clock Pacific Wednesday, November 3rd on their calendar, because that's the next Fed announcement. My personal expectation is they are going to announce taper tomorrow. I don't know what the timeline will be, but the bond market seems to think they'll be done tapering by the middle of next year. What I'm hoping for is sort of a buy on news after a couple of months of sell on rumor. Mm-hmm. We're in this weird situation where you've got very negative real interest rates because of inflation, but you do get these inflection points where traders in the gold market especially seem to worry about, is that gap going to widen or narrow? And if they're worried that the Fed's going to get aggressive, they're worried that the negative rates are going to get less negative, and they get paranoid and sell. The truth is we are in a macro environment where gold should perform, and silver and commodities in general, actually, should perform quite well like they did in the 70s. I'm not sure I'm ready to call it stagflation, but I don't see how we don't have negative rates for years, honestly. I just don't see how the Fed gets out of the corner it's painted itself into, honestly.
Yeah, it seems very difficult. Don't know. As Daniel DiMartino Booth said, the Fed can't raise rates into a declining economy, but at the same time, they can't not raise rates. So between a rock and a hard place. Gwen, your thoughts on gold and silver or whatever else you want to talk about?
How long have you got? I mean, I agree with what you guys just said. I certainly expect them to announce a taper tomorrow. We'll see what the reaction is to that. As Eric points to, the bond market has voiced their opinion on that. They think it's happening. But there is also this mixed messaging in the yield curve. And I think it's partly because, you know, last time they tried to, you know, cut back on bond purchasing, the market threw a fit and they had to walk it back. And sure, every instance is different. And last time they were raising rates and then did the taper. And this time, I guess they're doing it the other way around because they can't raise rates. So who knows exactly what the response will be, but I don't think the market's going to take it lying down. I mean, the market is all about, they learned last time in 2018, well, if we just throw a fit, then they'll step it back and we can get all the accommodation that we need to continue this endless bull market. So why would they not try that again, right? And the Fed's unspoken mandate is now to support the stock market, which leads to the whole other thing, which is that we have these incredibly high valuations in the broad market, and that is detracting interest from all tangible stuff, right? Value stocks are not doing what growth stocks are. And that's because I used to say that one of the things I loved about being a metals and mining investor is because we're dealing with things you can put your hands on, right? It's real. Gold is silver. Copper is, or gold is silver. Gold is real. Copper is real. You can put your hands on it. And the harsh irony is that now it's almost like we get knocked for dealing with things that are real. Yeah. Instead, people want to buy Shiba Inu, you know, Bitcoins, and like it's all, they just want to buy speculation. How that all comes to be, I don't know, but I do expect a bit of it. What's that?
What's that, Eric?
They've got an NFT for that, Gwen. They've got an NFT for everything. You know,
so I do think there'll be a bit of a tantrum because of whatever tightening comes. Inflation, they're not calling it transitory anymore, but it is very structural, like in terms, it's all about, you know, bottlenecks. We're in a weird place, but I think there's going to be a tantrum. I think they're going to have to step back on tightening, easing any concerns that the market has about real rates becoming less negative. And at some point, that just has to work for gold and silver. And then adding to it, I really think we're set up for a strong commodities market as a whole because of inflation and demand in an electrifying world. So I think it's going to work. Just the timing is very hard to predict precisely because things are pretty strange right now.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned, Gwen, that the, you know, the, all these overvaluations, a bubble, I think you could, a lot of people certainly think of the equity prices, bond prices for sure. We're in bubble territory. And yet the one sector that is doing very well, the gold and silver miners, it was brought out by Crescat Capital recently that they were the only non-financial sector in the S&P 500 is gold and silver miners that had inflation-adjusted positive free cash flow. So, you know, it's really, and all the other sectors are sucking wind. The worst was utilities, real estate down at the bottom, healthcare, everything else in the system. Everything was negative after you adjust for inflation, except the gold and silver miners. And this comes after a period of time. We had a long period of time in which the gold miners weren't doing very well. So maybe, Eric, I'd like to ask you, what do you think accounts for the strong profits of the senior miners in the gold and silver sector, and why do you think the share prices aren't really responding? Or maybe they are. I'm not sure. I haven't kept up with the majors that much.
I mean, they've responded some, but not as much as people hoped. I think when most of the miners came out with their Q3, one thing that I think spooked people a little, although it maybe shouldn't have been as big a surprise as it was, that since everybody else is talking about it, is, you know, they were talking about cost pressures, and that took some of the shine off of things. I mean, they'd had a bit of a rally, not a huge one, a bit of a rally from the end of September until the Q3 stuff came out, but almost without exception, they were all noting about cost pressures, and the mining sector has always been a sector that is prone to that just because it's just the nature of the mining business, where mines are. You can't get away from dealing with a lot of transportation costs because you're usually shipping things over long distance into mine sites. But I think that said, you know, like you said, it's one of the few inflation-adjusted cash flow positive sectors out there, and I think that story is going to improve. Plus, the miner, I think people outside the sector don't realize how much miners to clean up the balance sheet. I mean, gold miners were kind of famous for having terrible balance sheets, but those days are old. Most of these guys have paid their debt. A lot of them are actually debt-free, and they've got huge amounts of cash, like huge amounts of cash. I think everyone's waiting to see the M&A wave, which, you know, there's been some, but there hasn't been huge amounts of it. But, you know, much like gold and silver having their day again, I think the M&A wave is going to have its day again before too much longer, because they're all running into reserve addition problems, and they all have a lot of money. There's a lot of, I think we'll see a lot of probably M&A in, say, 2022, there's a lot of companies that are getting to the point, like the great bears of the world, where they'll have numbers out there, and I think these big guys will start pulling the trigger.
Oh, it would certainly seem so. And I mean, we've seen a decline in production, in new discoveries very dramatically over the last number of years. So I'm wondering if that might be part of the reason that the gold miners are showing good profits, is that they're not getting excited and overpaying for deposits. But as you say, they have money now, which leads me then, I think you just mentioned Great Bear, which certainly comes to mind as one of those targets. But maybe, Gwen, talk about a couple of your favorite exploration stories and maybe who you're bringing to the Metals Investor Forum.
For sure. And just sort of to continue with the theme that you're talking about, which is M&A or the lack thereof, I mean, I certainly think that management teams of majors are very gun-shy on M&A because they screwed it up so badly the last time around, so I think they're very hesitant on that. The irony is they're not getting rewarded very much in the market for being careful with their money this time instead of not careful with it. So it's sort of a rock and a hard place for them. At some point, they will have to start buying again because you can't stay big if you don't have new projects. And so I think, and there have been deals, and I think they will continue, but we're certainly still seeing a focus on dividends and share buybacks and, you know, being in net cash, which is, like you say, anomalous across the stock market. But that's where miners are, not just gold miners. I mean, Freeport-McMoRan announced an incredible share buyback and dividend program just today. They're sending out 80% of adjusted free cash flow in dividends.
Wow.
It's amazing. So yeah, if you want to buy just on dividends and you know, balance sheets, then miners are a great place to be. But again, it's not rampant speculation, so it's a different game than most investors seem to be playing right now. As for projects or companies that I like that are coming to the Metals Investor Forum, one that fits this conversation, I think, is Integra. I mean, Integra is... I wrote about them just last week, and what I said is, you know, they've done this before. They had Integra Gold, which had a great project in Quebec. They just took the steps that were needed to demonstrate it could be a good mine, and they got taken out for it. They did that through a really terrible market, but they just kept stepping forward because this is a team that's focused on creating a real asset. I think that that is exactly what they're doing again at the Delamar project in Idaho. Great jurisdiction. People love Idaho these days. And they're just stepping this thing forward, demonstrating that it has all of the things that you need for it to be a great asset. They did a PEA, 16 months ago, 18 months ago. They will soon, I think in the next month, come out with a PFS for a dramatically larger project. I won't get into the details of how and why, but it's going to be a much larger project. I think it's going to put it in a different category in terms of how it is viewed in the market because it'll be so much bigger. And they continue to make a bunch of new discoveries, high-grade stuff below the pit that they've outlined, other targets around. So I think Integra, the market, like with a lot of developers, hasn't been paying much attention to it. Its share price is low right now, but it's the kind of project that I think once interest returns to the space, I think Integra is the kind of asset that will get a bunch of attention. I'll quickly mention two others. Banyan is another one that I really like. They are exploring in Yukon. But what I like is that this is a demonstration. They have 1 million ounces already. I think that they are they're reliably and efficiently marching their way to 2 million ounces near surface, you know, gold that's very consistent and where there's lots of opportunity to keep growing it. It sits between two operating mines. It is higher grade than the operating mine next door. So it's just an exploration play where I think the risk is fairly minimal, but the upside could be quite significant if the market decides to start rewarding, you know, the existence of 2 million economic-looking ounces in a good jurisdiction on a road. And then I have to throw in a uranium pick because I think uranium is an exciting space. I won't get into that because I would take up more than the rest of your show to do so. and it's a bit of a side angle uranium pick, which is Vow Ore. So VO is the ticker on the Venture Exchange. If you look them up, they look like they're a PGE company, Platinum Group company, and they are. They have a PGE project in Brazil. That is a good asset. But they pivoted to that when uranium was detested and they couldn't raise money and there was no point progressing the uranium asset that they have in northern Canada. Uranium is back, so they are currently raising $9 million to go back to work on their uranium asset. You know, the market hasn't paid a huge amount of attention. It has. But I think it's a little bit of a a sideline way into uranium, and I think that there's a lot of upside potential at that Angilac project in northern Canada. So if you're interested in uranium, yeah, get in touch or ask me about it or check out Valour amongst some of my other uranium picks.
And, of course, all three of those companies will be at the Metals Investor Forum, I believe, Gwen, so people can learn a lot more about them if they either go or watch the show.
So. Absolutely.
All right. Eric, you mentioned Great Bear, and I was really delighted to see that you are inviting them to the show. Certainly one that I've loved, and thanks to Gwen. I think, Gwen, kudos to you because you were the one that turned me on to it early on and did very well with it, and so did my subscribers. But talk to us, Eric, about, I would think they would be one obvious M&A target.
Yeah, I mean, Great Bear's an obvious one. I mean, they've got $1 billion market cap, so it's not I'm not expecting a 10-bagger or anything, but it's probably the most obvious takeover candidate out there. I don't think that happens until they get a resource and maybe a PEA out. I'm hoping to get Chris to clarify the PEA timing because I would think they probably started work on that. They don't need to finish the resource to start the PEA. I think it'll be important for people to understand what they're trying to do here. My expectations are several million ounces in initial resource. Do I think there's a lot more than that? Yeah. But I think what they're going to try to do is show people a very, very high, return, very high margin, open pitable deposit at LP, and they'll worry about the other stuff later.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what I'm saying is I think even though maybe it comes in 6, 7, 8 million ounces, I think the NPV on this thing is going to be silly. Like, I'm honestly expecting a couple of billion in terms of NPV range. So there's still, and that's, they're nowhere near done drilling it. It'll take 20 years to drill that thing off. And I don't really think Chris wants to drill it for 20 years. I think he'd rather someone buy it for a really good price and not have to worry about that stuff.
They will
be at NIF with me very quickly. I'll mention two others. Pan Global, great story, copper stock in Spain. Love the management team. They've done all the right things. They've hit on every hole. It's one of those slightly under the radar ones because you have to understand the infrastructure and everything to understand how good the economics could be. But more to the point, literally any day now, they'll get the project next door. They'll get the concession from the government, the applications, everything's done. They're just literally waiting for somebody to stamp a piece of paper. That concession next door has 6 to 8 other targets that look exactly the same as Romana, which is what they've been drilling for the last 2 years. I think that has room to get quite large. And given the location, it's another one of those ones where I don't think that I'd be surprised if that company's around in 2 or 3 years. I think somebody takes it out. And I think they take it out a lot higher than where it's trading now. And a third one, I'll just super fast, Alpha Lake Mining. They're in production. They've done a great job getting their costs down at their Campo Morado project. I was shocked at how low their AISC was last quarter. It was like 77 cents a pound on zinc. But the thing to watch for that is two things. One, they will be bringing a gold mine, a second mine, into production over the next 2 to 4 months. It should start kicking over probably late this year, but it'll end a Q1 to get it up to 1,000 tons a day. But also, and I keep harping on this with subscribers, they're doing these MET tests. And if they can find a system, and they think they can, based on initial results, to improve gold and silver recovery, which has always been difficult at Campo Morado, up to even 60-70%, which isn't great globally. But in terms of Campo Morado, you're talking about adding like $50 to $100 a ton. Like, it's not minor. Like, it's a really, really big deal if they pull that off.
Mm. All right. Very exciting stories. And all the reason in the world for folks listening to this show to go to Metals Investor Forum, sign up for the show, go to the project in person if possible. If not, it's going to be live on the internet. So go to metalsinvestorforum.com, sign up, and you'll hear more from Eric and Gwen and other newsletter writers, including yours truly, in terms of our favorite stocks. All right. Well, thank you, both of you, for joining me today, and we'll look forward to seeing you in Vancouver in just a few days from now.
Okay.
All righty.
And just so people know, if they're hesitant, we chose the location for this one, so there's tons of square footage. So if you don't want people in your face, there's lots of room for people to move around and not be in each other's way if they don't want to be.
Right, that's the Marriott Hotel. What is it? It's over on the other side of town.
Yeah,
plenty of room there. That's a spacious environment so people can distance if they feel uncomfortable. All right, well, thanks both of you for joining me again. Great to have you.
Okay.
Thanks, Jay.
All righty. Folks, don't go away. We have to go to break, but we'll be right back with John Rubino. He's going to talk about various things, the mining companies, as well as wages and strikes and all kinds of fun things that are going on now, lifting prices of everything. Well, not so much fun if you have to put food on the table. But we'll be right back with John Rubino.
Lion Wine Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.